Present.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Clark.
Present.
Commissioner Lieberman.
Here.
Commissioner Potter.
Here.
Commissioner Riley.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chair Neely.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Let me ask staff to go over the changes in the agenda and any announcements.
Thank you, Chair Neely. Good morning, commissioners, members of the public. If anyone would like to address the commission today, we ask that you fill out a speaker slip. They can be found outside the meeting room. Please be sure to put your name and item number on your slip, bring it to the staff table, and the chair will call your name prior to the item being heard. We also ask that all speaker slip, or all cell phones, be turned off while in the meeting room. And I'd like to move to changes on today's agenda. On page 18, there are no changes. On page 19, item 8A, 608-68 Hamilton Trust, move to consent. And on page 20, there are no changes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And starting with item number 3, this is the consent calendar items for the San Diego District. There is only one item. There is no known opposition to this item, and the conditions are acceptable to the applicant. Therefore, we recommend that the commission approve this item on the consent calendar.
All right, thank you. I have 3A and B. Is one of them pulled or on consent calendar? A Caltrans item and a UCSD San Diego item.
I'm sorry, you're correct.
Okay. Do we have any ex partes on the consent calendar? Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the commission?
Move consent.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Potter, seconded by Commissioner Schellenberger to approve the consent calendar. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
And item 4 is the Deputy Director's Report for the San Diego District. This is the list of waivers, non-material amendments, and extensions, and emergency permits for San Diego. Today we only have 2 de minimis waivers to report. There are no other items, and staff recommends that the Commission concur with the Executive Director and approve the District Director's Report.
All right, thank you. Any objection to concurrence with the Executive Director's Report? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And item 5 are the items removed from today's regular calendar to the consent calendar by staff. There is only one item, 8A, 608-68 Hamilton Trust. If there is anyone here to speak on this item, they should come forward at this time. The conditions of approval address the coastal issues that are raised by this sea cave infill and seawall that's necessary to protect an existing home in Solana Beach. And the applicant has indicated all the conditions of approval are acceptable. Therefore, unless commissioners have any questions or concerns at this time, staff recommends the item be approved on the consent calendar.
All right, thank you. And we have one speaker, but only if the item is pulled for a hearing, and so it's not going to be Mr. Trent, so we'll just go ahead and ask the commission to give us a motion on the consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shajian, second by Commissioner Schellenberger to approve the consent calendar. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
And the next item, 6A, is the City of Carlsbad LCP Amendment Number 2-07A, Aura Circle. This is both a land use plan and implementation plan amendment for a 15-acre site on the north side of Hillside Drive in Carlsbad. The LCP amendment would redesignate and rezone 12.36 acres of the site that's currently designated and zoned for residential low-medium use to open space, and then the remainder of the site would remain for residential use. And this LCP amendment is to enable a 9-lot single-family residential development. The line that's proposed between the open space and the residential development area is consistent with the hard line that was established as part of for the Habitat Reserve in the Carlsbad Habitat Management Plan that was certified by the commission as part of the local coastal program. And the impacts to the resources were anticipated at that time, and build-out of this site as proposed is consistent with that HMP. Therefore, staff is recommending approval of this LCP amendment as submitted, and the resolutions and motions are on page 5 of the staff report.
All right, thank you, staff. We have no speaker slips on this item. Do we have any ex partes? Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the commission?
I move that the commission certify the land use plan amendment for the city of Carlsbad as submitted. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Shajian and a second by Commissioner Potter. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the land use amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Shajian?
No, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Potter?
No.
Okay. Do we have any objections to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies the land use plan amendment for the city of Carlsbad as submitted.
And the next item is A6ENCO8106, the City of Encinitas appeal. This is the proposed development that involves the construction of a 44-acre park to include softball and baseball fields, multi-use turf fields, a teen center, 419 parking spaces, a dog park, an amphitheater, a skate park, aquatic facility, gardens, picnic areas, trails, and a scenic overlook. And could I have the PowerPoint on this item, please? The park will be located near the intersection of Santa Fe Drive and Interstate 5 in the city of Encinitas. There are no views of the shoreline or ocean that exist across the site because of a heightened ridgeline that occurs west of the site. The site was formerly used for greenhouse operations, and the greenhouses have subsequently been removed. Because of recent rains, the site is now covered in weeds. San Diego staff is recommending that the commission find that the appeal does not raise a substantial issue. As identified in the staff report, the appeals identify a series of concerns which the appellants assert are inconsistent with the certified LCP policies relating to circulation, recreation, land use, and community character. Although the staff report enumerates each concern in more detail, the primary concerns relate to the installation of nighttime sports field lighting, traffic congestion, and protection of natural environmental areas. The nighttime sports field lighting is not part of the project as approved by the city, and any future installation of sports field lighting will require both an LCP amendment and an amendment to the subject coastal development permit. Therefore, this concern as it relates to the proposed development is not a substantial issue. In terms of traffic congestion, the appellants have concerns that the inclusion of the multi-use baseball soccer fields within the 44-acre park will overwhelm the residential neighborhood in terms of traffic congestion that's inconsistent with the community character protection policies in the LCP. While the traffic will increase in the residential neighborhood, it will be mitigated over time, and the increase in traffic is a local concern, not one of regional or statewide importance. Santa Fe Drive does not provide direct access to the shoreline from Interstate 5. It is not considered a major coastal access route, such that any increase in traffic in this location will not adversely impact public access to the shoreline. The appellants have also asserted the project is not protective of the natural environmental areas. The project site does not contain any natural environmental areas, and although Rossini Creek, a creek containing wetlands, is located to the south of the subject site, again, the site itself was previously used for greenhouses, as and shown on page on slide 2, there is no natural habitat occurring on the site at this time. The proposed park site is a generally flat area that has been used for agriculture and greenhouse operations. In addition, all the runoff from the park site is proposed to be effectively treated with BMPs to assure no polluted runoff enters the nearby Rossini Creek. The project, as approved by the city, was contentious at the local level. However, the issues related to the intensity of use at the park appear to be a local concern to our staff and not one of regional or statewide importance. The project, as approved by the city, is consistent with the Certified Local Coastal Program, and that is why we're recommending there's no substantial issue. And I'm just going to run through the rest of these slides. Page three is looking southwest across the site from the adjacent commercial center. Slide four is a view looking across the site from Interstate 5. Slide five shows the location of Santa Fe Drive to the north of the site, that it doesn't provide direct access to Coast Highway. It terminates at a road that parallels on the inland side of the railroad track and doesn't go through to Coast Highway. And then the next slide shows that there are several major coastal access routes that do go across the railroad tracks and Coast Highway to the beach north of the site in Encinitas. And this last slide is just a slide of the different uses on the site. It shows a breakdown of the percentages of the types of use. And most notably, at the bottom, the two colors of green show the open space, which is approximately 21% of the site at 9.2 acres. And then the sports fields are 22% of the site at 9.6 acres. So they're roughly equal in acreage. And again, over the existing conditions, we feel that the park is somewhat of an improvement. It's a development that that does take advantage of the open space for the city. It's very difficult for any community to locate these types of facilities, but we think that taking into consideration the habitat value of the site and the fact that there's not any impacts to significant public views or any impacts to major coastal access route, that the city has cited this park in an appropriate location. And that'll conclude my comments at this time.
All right, thank you, staff. Let's go to the commission to see if we have any ex parte communications, starting on my left with Commissioner Lieberman. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yes, Commissioner Wan?
I received a phone call on the 30th from Everett Delano, and he very quickly said, went through most of the things that are in the letter that he sent and that is in our packet. I explained to him that I hadn't read the staff report at that point, so I had no comments to make, but he went through about the points that are covered in his letter to the commission.
Thank you. Commissioner Riley?
I had a brief conversation this morning with Susan McCabe on basically procedural issues, nothing substantive, and my other ex partes are on file.
Thank you. My ex partes are on file. Commissioner Clark, did you have anything? Okay. Commissioner Sharjan?
Mine are on file also.
Okay.
Madam Chair, on January 30th, 11:30 a.m. morning, I had a telephone conference with Ms. McCabe, Patrick Murphy, Chris Hasseltine, and M. Blumker. And the applicant pretty much went over the project with me, and that they were in agreement with staff's recommendation that there are no substantial issues. They described the benefit of the project, including establishment of much-needed recreation opportunities in public open space, and that the project is fully consistent with the certified LCP.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Blank?
I also had a conversation with Ms. McCabe, whose substance was identical to Commissioner Acacia.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Clark?
Yeah, I also had a discussion with Susan McCabe on last Friday, the essence of was identical to the two just reported.
Okay, great. Staff?
Yes, and I'll just add that all the people from the city of Encinitas that are here today are available or are able to speak because they did participate at the local level.
They did. Okay, thank you very much. I just want to announce the time limits, and for this type of a substantial issue hearing, we're going to give 5 minutes per side, and we'll start with the appellants, and that's Gerald Sadonka, representing Citizens for Quality of Life. And then Andrew Audette, you would be part of that presentation, if you want to come down as well, but... Pardon me? Yeah, come down to the podium if you don't mind. And this is with regard to the substantial issue question, the argument.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay, great, thank you.
Gerald Sadamka, Cardiff by the Sea. We were told by the San Diego staff that we had 3 minutes.
So well, that's I just what felt I like prepared. Being more generous, so...
Yes, thank you for the extra time.
You're welcome.
We did prepare a packet. All the information we are supplying today is public record. This is a project proposed by the city and approved by the city. There has been a lack of proper oversight. We are appealing because there are inconsistencies with the local coastal plan and issues of regional and state concern. First is traffic and beach access. Staff never fully considered traffic on Birmingham, which is the direct route to Cardiff Beaches and Cardiff State Park. Please see Exhibit A. Staff looked at Santa Fe, but the city has always made McKinnon Avenue across I-5 the main access to the park. This is reached most easily from Birmingham. Weekend tournament traffic will stall access to the beaches. This is a regional concern and grounds for finding substantial issue. Policy 2.10 of the LCP makes this clear. Second is protection of community character. Cardiff is unique. See Exhibit B. It is mostly residential and one of the last typical Southern California beach towns. See Exhibit B1. Plunking a high-intensity sports complex in the middle of it is no different than putting in a Costco. Ignoring community character violates the LCP. Third is riparian habitat. The California Riparian Habitat Conservation Act mandates that preservation and enhancement of riparian habitat be a primary concern of the Coastal Commission. See Fish and Game Code. Rossini Creek crosses a property and runs into the protected riparian habitat of Cardiff Glen, abutting the property. The property has documented diesel oil, arsenic, DDT, dieldrin, and toxaphene contamination. See EIR comments. Where does the runoff go? Into the protected wetlands, San Elijo Lagoon, and the ocean. See Exhibit C and D. The Coastal Commission established the protected wetlands in Cardiff Glen. The city has a policy of not allowing contaminated soil to stay where city crews come in contact with it. The city has always been dismissive of contamination, and in fact, we had to sue the city to force them to do the EIR. It is certainly a regional and of regional and state concern. Fourth is the recreational and land use elements. Staff agrees that sports fields should be spread throughout the city, policy 2.6 of the LCP. Yet the project puts a sports complex in Cardiff, which already has almost all existing city-operated fields. The only exception is a single field at Leo Mullen Park. The staff never discussed the imbalance and the location of tourist-oriented elements in mostly residential areas.
That's the 3 minutes.
I can quickly follow up here. I only have a 3 sentences left. Policy 1.13 of the LCP. Please allow the issues in our appeal to be more fully examined. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Andrew Audette?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Andrew Audette, I'm just a resident of Encinitas, and you realize when you're just a resident how overwhelmed these proceedings are when you're just an individual trying to put forth a voice. And the voice that I heard today was the substantive issue of traffic. And the applicant needed a statement of overriding considerations to even get the project through at the local level. So without that statement of overriding considerations to mitigate that substantive issue of the environmental impact on the community and the neighborhood, the project would not be approved. So 2 plus 2 has to equal 4. And there is a substantive issue, and it's traffic. to say that traffic is not relative to the regional or the state level, well, the way that the overriding consideration was achieved was by an understanding that the state would pay for an improvement at some point, at some unknown future, for Santa Fe, which runs down to the coast. Now, we've seen in the newspapers since November that, quite frankly, at the end of the day, the state does not have any money to do any infrastructure improvement on an I-5 widening or the Santa Fe interchange. So the substantive issue of traffic, it's impossible for that issue to be mitigated. And we would like, as residents, that until that traffic issue is mitigated, that the project either be on hold or be scaled back until traffic can be answered. So that's a big point, but a child died on that Santa Fe interchange, and the city knew about it, and the state knew about it, and there's been a lawsuit to that effect. And we think certainly 400, 500 parking spots with a park is not a good place.
Thank you. Dan Dallagher from the city.
Good morning. My name's Dan Dallagher. I'm the deputy mayor of the city of Encinitas, and I also happen to be a lifelong resident of Encinitas. The city of Encinitas appreciates the work that the area Coastal Commission staff did. We are in complete support of the recommendation of no substantial issue regarding this appeal. The project provides a variety of active and passive recreational opportunities in a public park on 44 acres within the coastal zone. We feel very, very privileged that we're trying to put in open space in a coastal area instead of a Costco or new housing development. When this property became available, the city recognized it as a unique opportunity to acquire this land, which was residentially zoned and dedicated for public park purposes for current and future generations to enjoy. The completion of the proposed development of a 44-acre special-use park addresses a long-standing deficiency in city parkland. The park will help to alleviate but not fulfill the identified needs for athletic fields and special-use parks in our city. The Encinitas City Council approved the site plan through a process involving several public workshops over the course of 6 years. An environmental impact report was prepared to address a variety of issues raised through the process. Although the neighborhood has concerns about the compatibility of the park, the city has taken steps to design the active uses away from residential uses to the extent possible. The park also provides a variety of uses in addition to ball fields. Your staff had talked about our ball fields taking up 21% of the area in open space, being, I believe they said, 22-23%. Actually, when you figure in the buffer, which is going to be, you know, native plants, just setbacks, it's actually 44% that's going to be open space. And I want to remind you, this is an area that Costco came to us, and they wanted to put in basically a superstore. And I tell you, as a person who's lived there my whole life, it just felt so good to look at them and tell them to pound sand in our town. Open space and parkland, places for our kids, are more important. This is a very rare opportunity to get 44 acres of public parkland within the coastal zone. The city has turned a low-priority coastal land use of single-family zoning and turned it into a high-priority coastal use of public park open space. And again, we're very, very proud of that. We hope you agree and support the recommendation of no substantial issue, because frankly, there are no substantial issues. Should you have any questions, I'm just some bozo who got elected, but we actually have a lot of real technical people here who would be more than glad to answer any and all questions you've got, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Let me bring it back to staff.
Thank you, Chair Neely. As I indicated in my initial comments, it is difficult to site these types of facilities in communities, and there's always going to be additional traffic impacts associated with them. We think that the fact that this park is located as close as it is to Interstate 5, that should reduce the amount of neighborhood traffic that might otherwise result from a community park. And again, as I said, it's not on a major coastal access route. There aren't any existing public views of the ocean that would be blocked by the park, and its development would enhance the character of the area when compared to today's conditions. And so, again, we feel that our recommendation of no substantial issue is appropriate. Okay. That concludes my comments.
Thank you, staff. Commissioner Wong?
I just had a couple of questions of staff. I noticed in the letter that was sent to commission that there was a contention that, and apparently a ruling by a judge, that all of the landscaping had been removed. Was that landscaping native landscaping, or was it just planted shrubs of some sort?
It was not native, and it would have been whatever was associated with the greenhouse uses there before.
I see. Okay. And then the only other question I have is that the dog park, I noticed, is very close to the area that's listed as riparian. Is there any setback of that dog park from the stream? What is it?
The actual stream is located off-site, and I'm not sure of the exact distance, but I know that it was a sufficient buffer for what our typical standards would be.
Okay, I understand the main project, but there's a separate little section that says dog park,
mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm looking at the dog park seems to be going quite close to the stream. Does that also have a sufficient setback from the stream?
Yes, it does have the setback that would be required by the LCP, which is at least 50 feet.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Commissioner Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the commission determine that appeal number A-6-ENC-08-106 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act, and ask for a yes vote.
Second. Okay.
We have a motion by Commissioner Riley, a second by Commissioner Clark. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in a finding of no substantial issue and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, I think staff's covered it pretty well.
All right. Commissioner Clark?
Likewise.
All right. Commissioner Schellenberger?
I have a question of staff. We heard in the testimony that, at least as I understood it, that this project was based on an assumption that the state would be widening I-5 and that there would be an interchange, a Santa Fe interchange. Could you address that?
I'll address it to the best of my knowledge is what is in the environmental impact report. They do indicate that those traffic impacts would have to be mitigated by interchange improvements when they're done. And so that it's not a required interchange improvement commensurate with construction of the park, as far as I understand it. So it would be one of those unavoidable impacts that it's accepted until the state does do the improvements to the interchange.
Wait, I'm not sure I actually understand. So you're saying that when it's done, meaning when this project is done, then they must mitigate the traffic impacts?
No, I don't believe there is a requirement that the interchange improvements have to be done prior to or concurrent with construction of the park. That is just an unavoidable impact that was accepted as part of the project that will be mitigated when the interchange improvements are completed.
Okay, Commissioner Blank.
I have a question for staff. It says on page 6 of the staff report that the applicant's also processing an LCP concurrently with this one for 90-foot high sports lighting. And staff's contention is, since that amendment is not part of this substantial issue appeal, it shouldn't be considered as part of the appeal. But staff have an opinion on 90-foot lights is appropriate to the neighborhood?
That will be an issue that will be before the commission as part of an LCP amendment, and we have indicated that we would have some concerns with that height of standard in this location.
But just remind me, is there no way unless we find substantial issue to modify this to limit those lights. Correct? We either have a yay or nay on substantial issue.
Yay or nay on substantial issue, but the lights are not part of this project.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Lieberman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for staff, or perhaps for city staff, on the characterization of what happens to runoff on the site. And I'm curious if someone can explain what the situation is now, what the situation would be like after the project, and whether the water quality situation it improves or not after the project.
As far as...
I imagine this was covered in the EIR, but I haven't had the opportunity to read the EIR.
Right. As far as the very specifics are concerned, I would ask that somebody from the city answer that question. Otherwise, I know that they are requiring a stormwater pollution control plan as part of the project.
Okay, and we have a city representative, I think, here. Could you give your name for the record, please?
My name is Bobette Bidolf, and I work with EDAW. I'm the principal in charge that worked on the environmental impact report for the project.
Okay. And did you want to direct your question?
Yes. On the issue of runoff, runoff currently on the site is taken in on-site. There are some drainage facilities that are currently on-site, and as part of the environmental review process, we did determine that there should be some additional measures that are implemented to ensure that all that runoff is treated on-site before leaving the park property. So there is a series of mitigation measures specified in the EIR that have been adopted by the City of Encinitas, and that includes on-site infiltration facilities, the natural features of landscaping, to ensure that before the water does reach Racine Creek that it is clean.
And that includes the dog park area as well?
That does include the dog park area. In fact, there's an existing culvert on that property, and that was taken into consideration in the analysis.
You have to ask. Are there any other questions? Commissioner Wan, did you have one?
Yes, on the dog park. You said this is a culvert, so if the runoff goes into the culvert, is what goes into the culvert then treated or infiltrated or some way?
Yes, okay. Yes.
All right, any other questions for the speaker? Thank you. Any other speakers on the commission? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second to find no substantial issue. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission finds that appeal number A-6-ENC-08-108 does not present a substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. All right, thank you.
And that concludes the San Diego District. We'll move on to the remaining items for the South Coast District, Orange County. And this is items 9A through E. There are five proposals for permanent lifeguard towers on five separate beaches in Laguna Beach. The staff has looked at each site and its individual conditions, and we've prepared a recommendation for each site, but they have been combined into one staff report. A separate commission action will be required for each numbered permit application. This also represents a consolidated permit application so that the entire development, including the portions that are in the city's appeal jurisdiction and in the commission's original jurisdiction, are being reviewed by the commission at one time. And Gabriel Burr of the Long Beach office will present the PowerPoint showing the conditions at each site and the basis for our staff recommendation.
Can I please get the PowerPoint?
A lot. All those and all these.
Thanks. All right. The City of Laguna Beach has proposed the construction of five permanent lifeguard towers on several beaches throughout the city. The towers would measure 14 feet 9 inches tall and have a shelter footprint of approximately 6 feet by 8 feet. The city is not proposing a seawall or other protective device for the proposed lifeguard towers, Rather, the permanent towers would each be mounted on top of a single 36-inch diameter caisson anchored into the existing bedrock below the beach sand. The proposed towers would be located as landward as possible and directly below the steep bluffs that front the subject sites. The wave run-up study provided by the city indicates that the proposed sites are subject to periodic wave run-up from storm-generated waves throughout the year and recommends that founding the proposed towers on a pile or caisson in bedrock and raising the actual tower structure above potential flood elevations will eliminate the hazards associated with wave run-up. The report also concludes that the single caisson support design would be of a small enough profile to allow for natural wave run-up flow to occur in the area of the tower and not impact beach erosion processes. The Commission's coastal engineer has reviewed the proposed project and associated geotechnical and wave run-up reports and concurs with these conclusions. These pictures represent two existing towers in Laguna Beach, identical to the towers proposed by the city in this application. In 2004, eight towers similar to the towers in this application were approved by the city, but were not appealed at that time. Currently, the Department of Marine Safety utilizes temporary chair facilities to maintain public safety at city beaches. The temporary chairs have been used by the city for decades. The towers are deployed for the summer months and then removed at the end of the peak beach season. The city contends that the current chairs provide little relief from the elements, are not OSHA compliant, and require frequent readjustment due to beach erosional processes associated with wave run-up and tidal fluctuations. More recently, at select beaches, the city has also used towers similar to those proposed in this application, but mounted on portable sleds. The towers are deployed seasonally and then removed from the beach in the off-season. In order to deploy this tower alternative, a wide beach or other available access way is required where the sleds can be dragged to the subject site. The city of Laguna Beach has a highly varied coastline, so these deployment options are not available at all city beaches. The narrow beaches and steep coastal bluffs in Laguna Beach present a significantly different environment from the wide sandy beaches that exist in a majority of Southern California coastal cities. These pictures are examples of different variations of portable lifeguard towers on sleds that are utilized in the region. None of these alternatives would be appropriate for Laguna Beach because of the limited access available for deployment and the narrow profiles of the beaches located within the city. A few state park beaches in San Diego County have employed permanent towers on caissons. These towers, however, are considerably bulkier than the towers proposed by the city of Laguna Beach. It should also be noted that these towers have not ever received approval from the Coastal Commission. The Marine Safety Department of Laguna Beach currently staffs 30 beaches within the city limits with lifeguards during the summer months. During the remaining 9 months of the year, only two beaches are staffed with lifeguard personnel, while the other 28 beaches are not guarded, and any temporary lifeguard facilities present are removed and stored at an upland location. Any permanent facilities present are secured and remain on site until the following summer. As mentioned previously, eight permanent towers were approved by the city and installed in 2004, depicted by the yellow squares in this illustration. The subject sites for the proposed permanent towers in this application have been highlighted in green. It should be noted that the city has plans to convert all 30 beach locations in this illustration to permanent tower facilities in the near future. The city has agreed with commission staff to process these future applications as consolidated permits. The coastline of Laguna Beach is a dynamic and highly scenic environment, and because of this fact, Commission staff recommends that each subject beach presently before the Commission and those submitted under future applications be reviewed independently for impacts the proposed towers may have on local visual, geologic, and biological resources. Picnic Beach is the northernmost beach of the five proposed permanent towers and is located in a smaller cove approximately 700 feet in length. The cove is surrounded by steep, undeveloped coastal bluffs, and Heisler Park is located on the bluff top above. Native and non-native vegetation comprise the floral communities present on the bluff. And of the five proposed tower locations in this application, this beach represents the most natural and undisturbed setting and presents a significant scenic value for beach users. Because of the visual resources present and the undeveloped character of the beach, the proposed permanent lifeguard tower at this location would be out of character with the surrounding environment and would create a significant impact to the visual and scenic resources currently present. This cove is presently staffed during summer months by a temporary elevated chair that is removed during the off-season. The access to this cove via a paved ramp makes temporary alternatives more viable at this location, with the advantage that any visual distraction created by the necessary lifeguard chair or tower is temporary and less visually obtrusive than the permanent towers proposed by the city. Due to the scenic resources available at the subject site, and the easy access provided by the existing paved ramp to assist in deployment of a temporary structure, Commission staff recommends that the Commission deny the proposed permanent tower at this location. Bird Rock Beach is characterized as a wider, sandy beach backed by a steep coastal bluff with no existing bluff-faced development other than a rock revetment located along the toe of the bluff at the northern terminus of the beach. A rocky reef extends offshore to Bird Rock along the northern limits of the cove, and Main Beach is located directly south of this location. Native and non-native vegetation comprise the floral communities present on the bluff, and Heisler Park, again, is located on the coastal bluff top above. Access to the beach is gained by walking directly north from Main Beach. Because of the visual resources present and the undeveloped character of the beach at this location, the proposed permanent lifeguard tower would be out of character with the surrounding environment and would create a significant impact to the visual and scenic resources currently present. This cove is presently staffed during summer months by a temporary tower, similar to the towers proposed by the city, but instead is mounted on a movable sled that is removed during the off-season. The access to this cove via the wide sandy beach at Main Beach makes this temporary alternative viable at this location, with the advantage that any visual distraction created by the necessary lifeguard tower is temporary and less visually distracting than the permanent towers proposed by the city. Due to the undeveloped character of the surrounding bluffs and the successful deployment of a temporary facility at this location, Commission staff recommends that the Commission deny the proposed tower at this location. Sleepy Hollow Beach is located approximately half mile south of Main Beach. As the beach extends south from Main Beach, it narrows significantly and the bluffs surrounding the beach take on a more gradual character. This beach is accessed via a public stairway on both sides by private development. The bluff at this beach possesses a significantly increased pattern of development when compared to other more natural coves and pocket beaches located in the city, and several large multifamily residential developments and supporting seawalls that extend to the sand are located directly south of the public stairway. Single-family residences and associated private accessways occupy the bluff face to the north. The scenic resources present at this location include the upcoast and downcoast views and of the beach and ocean itself. By siting the proposed permanent tower as landward as possible and using a neutral color on the structure, the tower would blend in with the existing pattern of development present and would not obstruct any coastal views from the bluff above. Also, because of limited access options available at this subject beach, a small permanent tower as proposed by the city could be considered for this location. Talia Street Beach is located at the seaward terminus of Talia Street and is accessed by a public stairway that extends down the bluff and located approximately 1,000 feet south of the Sleepy Hollow Beach stairway. This beach again has a narrow profile similar to other adjacent beaches and possesses a significantly increased pattern of development when compared to other more pristine beaches located in the city. Single-family residential developments and supporting seawalls that extend to the sand are located directly to the north and south of the public stairway. And the scenic resources present at this location include the upcoast and downcoast views and of the ocean itself. By siting the proposed permanent tower as landward as possible and using a neutral color on the structure, the tower would blend in with the existing pattern of development present and would not obstruct any public coastal views from the bluff above. Also, because of limited access options available at this subject beach, a small permanent tower, as proposed by the city, could be considered for this location. Finally, Oak Street Beach is located at the seaward terminus of Oak Street and is accessed again by a public stairway that extends down the bluff, located approximately 500 feet south of the Talia Street Beach stairway. This beach has a narrow profile similar to other adjacent beaches and again possesses a significantly increased pattern of development compared to the more natural coves located in the city. Single-family residential developments and supporting seawalls that extend to the sand are located to the north and south of the public stairway. And the scenic resources present at this location include the upcoast and downcoast views and of the ocean itself. By siting the proposed permanent tower as landward as possible and using a neutral color on the structure, the tower would blend in with the existing pattern of development present and would not obstruct any coastal views from the bluff above. Also, because of limited access options available at this subject beach, a small permanent tower as proposed by the city could be considered for this location as well.
And just to summarize the staff recommendation, we are recommending denial of the permanent lifeguard towers on the two northernmost beaches, that is Picnic Beach and Bird Rock. What we did was weigh the impacts of these structures on the public resources, the scenic views in the area, against the need for the city to provide a service and the cost to the city of providing permanent versus temporary service, as well as the access constraints that the city has. In both those locations, there are not the access constraints, and The Heisler Park is a significant visitor destination point. It's highly used by locals and as a statewide resource, and the views from that park would be encroached upon by this. The scenic vistas would have a significant impact from these a permanent lifeguard tower and those locations. As far as the three southern beaches are concerned, as the slide showed, the bluffs are much more developed in those locations, and these permanent towers would be located as far landward as possible. We don't think that the encroachment on the scenic vista or the impact would be as significant in those locations. The city also does have access constraints there. You'll hear that there are alternatives available, and there are alternatives to the permanent towers that could be pursued by the city that would be like structures that could be dismantled and gotten there through whatever means, either down the vertical access ways or trucks on the beach. The city can address those points. We're not saying those alternatives aren't available, but we are accepting the city's proposal at this time to put permanent towers in those locations. And that will conclude my comments.
All right, thank you, staff. Let me look to my left. Commissioner Lieberman, do you have any ex parte communications?
No.
Anyone else?
Monday, 8:30, I spoke to Lenny Roberts, Mike Ferrara for ORCA. They mentioned they're concerned about this issue, and hopefully we'll look at it carefully.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Potter?
My ORCA ex partes are on file.
All right. Commissioner Ashaju?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On Monday 2nd at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I had a telephone conversation with Ms. Sandra Ciani, and I apologize if I mispronounce her name. And she pretty much shared with me her disagreement with this project moving forward. We talk about permanent versus temporary lifeguard towers and or chairs, and also that there was no proper notification given to the public. Overall, shared her opposition with the project as presented to us today. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Minor on file. Anyone else? Commissioner Wan?
On the 31st, I met with Sandra Ciani and Craig DePfeiffer. I hope I pronounced that right. They said they were against the permanent towers, that they wanted temporary towers, that towers are only staffed for 80 days, that they are removed after Labor Day. They've done this previously. They object to drilling into the bedrock in the small coves. They say that the claim that they're unable to access the beaches by truck is not correct, and they showed me photos with lifeguards driving on the beach, which they claim happens daily. They discussed the issue of sand shift, and they said, that the legs on the portable towers that they're proposing are adjustable, and that the sand doesn't really shift during the summer months, and that their temporary towers are actually better because you can't move permanent towers relative to sand height. And that when the sand level is very low, it would be difficult to get the stairs to meet the sand. And that these have never been story polled so that you can really look at the view impact, that the city really wants 30 of them, and that this will set a precedent. It'll be the first post-coastal permanent towers approved by the commission. They discussed the footprint, that with the folding steps, they were really 7 feet by 7 feet 6 inches, with the ram 13 feet by 7 feet 6 inches, which covers beaches where it's narrow and will block access at high tide. They urged the temporary towers, they said that there was an inconsistency in the staff report, or urging the use of temporary towers, but okaying three permanent ones. And then they discussed view impacts to access, erosion, and the placement of some of them in front of storm drain outlets.
Okay. Anyone else? Mr. Clark?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On 27th of January, I got a call from Ken Frank, the city manager of Laguna, to discuss this item. He indicated that the city was disappointed that the with the staff's recommendation of three of the five towers only being as proposed by the city being approved, but they could live with that. When I asked him if there was any opposition, he indicated that there had been opposition based upon aesthetic issues at one time, and that there had been an issue of beach erosion, but he believed that that had been dropped. Then on the 30th of January, I had a call from Penny Aaliyah from the Sierra Club, who expressed disappointment that the staff didn't deny all five of them and move in the direction of temporary towers that an environmental team had exhaustively researched temporary alternatives and submitted engineering drawings that meet all the Marine Life Safety Department requirements, including OSHA requirements. She indicated that the city of Laguna Beach has refused to even consider the alternative due to the fact they went ahead without any permits or even a conversion within the conversation with the Coastal Commission and ordered the permanent towers a couple of years ago. She also indicated that since staff, the entire staff report, the suggests that the alternative approach of temporary towers is preferred, why isn't it that that is the recommendation to the commission? She also indicated that there's been no seasonal run-up analysis done on the beaches where the permanent towers are to be constructed. She indicated that the city has stated they're unable to install temporary towers due to access issues, yet the lifeguards drive on Laguna's fragile beaches day in and day out. And finally, she concluded by indicating that this would set a very disastrous precedent for the entire coast, having these permanent towers.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to the public hearing. I'm going to give each side 15 minutes, and we'll start with the City of Laguna Beach, Mark Klosterman and Ken Frank. You'll also have 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you. I'm Ken Frank. I'm the city manager in Laguna Beach, and we do appreciate the effort that the staff put in the report. I think they did an excellent job. We appreciate their recommendation to approve three of the towers, but we believe that there are justification to approve all five. So I'd like to turn it over to Mark Klosterman. Mark is our director of marine safety, and he will present our rationale for approval of all five towers, not just the three towers. And I would like to correct something that may have been indicated to one of the commissioners in the ex parte agreements. If there is any indication that we did not get approvals for the existing eight towers on caissons, that is totally incorrect. Each of those eight towers has been issued a coastal development permit after a notice public hearing held by our design review board, which is a body appointed by the city council. On those towers, we only had one issue. One property owner wanted the tower moved a little bit in front of his property and lowered a little bit. The rest of them, we had no opposition. They were approved without opposition. They've been in place. There were no problems with them. They worked perfectly. I just wanted to clarify that in case there was any question about the permit process. Okay. So, Mark Klosterman.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Again, Mark Klosterman, Marine Safety Chief for the City of Laguna Beach, and also here with me, besides the City Manager today, is our Marine Safety Captain, Kevin Snow. Laguna Beach is a year-round resort that experiences high use and high visitation throughout the year. Summer-like crowds and treacherous conditions can occur on the beaches all year long. Laguna Beach is blessed with an extremely beautiful winding coastline that is accented with rocky points, coves, and reefs. But what makes this coastline beautiful also makes it hazardous and hard to manage due to visual limitations and response capabilities that rocky coves create. Heightened deployment conditions occur unexpectedly throughout the year due to storms, large surf, strong currents, congestion, crowds, and usage. Tower lifeguards are the city's frontline defense, providing life safety, prevention, enforcement, and marine protection. And rather than a reactive approach to public safety, where the lifeguards respond after the fact, we need year-round lifeguard towers on the beach, which provide us with the capability and option to staff any cove at any time when conditions warrant. In order for Laguna Beach to meet its public safety demands, it was imperative to find a tower that allowed the city to deploy lifeguards throughout the year when necessary. And after extensive research and trials, a small enclosed tower was found that not only protected employees from the elements, met OSHA standards, maintained stability in our sand shifting conditions, but also provided the year-round readiness and preparedness necessary to protect our coastal response issues. The City of Laguna Beach's Planning Commission, Design Review Board, and City Council approved this tower because they felt it balanced safety and aesthetics, along with meeting the Marine Safety's yearly response demands. Removing lifeguard towers from the beach is unacceptable, it's inadequate, it's unsafe, and it puts the public at risk. Therefore, the City of Laguna Beach urges the Coastal Commission to approve all five towers outlined in the staff report today. I will now quickly go through some slides that illustrate these issues. Here are some of the things that we're up against during non-summer months. Large crowds, rocky, shallow, dangerous conditions, unannounced visitors impacting marine protected areas, strong rip currents, large storm surf, and treacherous shore break conditions. Excuse me. This is one of our eight towers currently deployed year-round on K Sands, and in fact, this tower was opened just last weekend due to crowds and weather conditions. Excuse me, we're having a little problem here, but
thank you. There we go.
We're good. Now we're going to just commissioners. Commissioners, this is Picnic Beach. Some people do not want a year-round tower on a caisson at this beach because of view and aesthetic issues. But the Divers Cove Picnic Beach stretch is highly utilized on a year-round basis with visitors from all over the world coming to enjoy Heisler Park, which is located on the cliffs just above this beach, which has showers, restrooms, picnic tables. And this beach is located in a marine protected area where busloads of children come for field trips. A reactive response is created when lifeguard towers are removed from beaches. This tragedy occurred at Divers Cove, the Divers Cove picnic stretch. But in the aftermath of this multiple drowning, the community began in earnest a plan to replace lifeguard chairs with towers capable of year-round deployment. This is another example of one of our current towers in place that is working quite well for us. There are summer light conditions. Again, you saw Torrey Pines. Here's another example of of agency that's had to place towers on caissons due to the sand shifting elements. You can see three towers down this way. Here's the north view of it with several more towers, and it's actually placed on a coastline less developed than Laguna Beach. Here's Cardiff area that not only has a substation on a cliff area, but has a frontline enclosed tower on a caisson to meet their year-round public safety response demands. These are other towers, Huntington Beach, Newport Beach, Seal Beach, Long Beach, and Los Angeles. You saw examples of where large towers on skids can be utilized due to flat, stable, accessible beaches. Again, I apologize, but there, this is not the not the one that we're working here. But these accessible beaches and things, and the Huntington Beach area that you see with all the towers out right now, this was in anticipation of large crowds due to summer-like conditions just last summer. This is our sand shifting problems and why caissons are necessary in Laguna Beach. This final slide, commissioners, shows the eight areas that are currently have enclosed towers on our beaches. And I'd like to close with saying that public good will not be served today if the appellant's appeal is considered. The city is requesting that the Coastal Commission provide us with the capability and option to staff frontline proactive towers on a year-round basis at Picnic Beach, Bird Rock, Sleepy Hollow, Thalia Street, and Oak Street. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? I apologize for the mess up on the slideshow.
Not a problem. Thank you. And does that conclude your presentation? We'll reserve some time for a rebuttal for you then.
Thank you.
All right. Let's then go to the appellants, and they have an organized presentation. Sandra Siana is going to be the first speaker, and you also have 15 minutes. Your presentation has a total of 15 minutes. All right, thank you.
Honorable Commissioners, my name is Sandra Siani, and I'm the appellant. I would like to thank the Commission for their valuable time in listening to our appeal against the proposed permanent lifeguard towers in Laguna Beach. I thank the staff for all of their work and strongly agree with their recommendation for Picnic Beach and Bird Rock Beach. I do, however, urge a denial vote for the permanent towers for all five beaches. Please note that in 2007, the exact permanent tower and five of the same locations were proposed and were appealed by Commissioner Sara Juan, previous Chair Patrick Kruer, and myself, and the staff found substantial issue at all five locations. This is also supported by the staff report on page 2, paragraph 2, quote, that the staff strongly encourages the city to consider using temporary structures instead of permanent, end quote. They also say that the temporary tower is the preferred solution. I delivered to your hotel late Wednesday night binders with important documents, invoices, and photos that will support our claim, so I hope that you had a chance to review the material. When I first spoke with the California Coastal Commission staff 2 years ago, they told me that they would always support a temporary structure over a permanent structure as long as they accomplish the same purpose. Today we are going to show that the temporary lifeguard towers meet all of the same criteria the permanent towers do. Page 2 of the staff report supports and acknowledges that we have, quote, several examples of temporary tower systems that provide sun wind protection, provide railings and stairs, are easily adjusted in the field to address shifting sands, and are designed to be broken down into parts that are easily transported, assembled, and disassembled, end quote. These proposed permanent towers will create negative visual impacts to the public, hazards to the environment, erosion, and dramatically impact public access and recreation. The question is not if the lifeguard should have new towers, but how. There are five locations being proposed today, but this is a cumulative project in total of 30. There are no Coastal Commission-approved permanent towers in California. The three permanent towers that exist were pre-Coastal Act, therefore cannot be used as a precedence. If these five are approved, they will not only set a precedence for Laguna Beach, but for the entire state of California. Therefore, temporary towers should be implemented on all five beaches. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Craig DePfeiffer?
Okay, I have a PowerPoint. Hello, my name is Craig DePfeiffer. I'm a native and currently reside in Laguna Beach. I'm a landscape designer and certified arborist. I would like to thank the staff for their wonderful work on the staff report, and I strongly support the staff's recommendations for the temporary lifeguard towers at all five locations. I'm strongly in opposition to the permanent lifeguard towers on concrete caissons that are proposed to be constructed on our beaches. I'm here today to present two temporary lifeguard tower alternatives. They were designed by professional design and architectural firms. As stated in the staff report, our temporary designs meet all criteria. The designs address the safe work environment our public servants deserve. They provide protection from the sun, wind, and rain and meet all OSHA requirements. The structures are supported by adjustable legs that can be easily raised or lowered by one person with a tool. The towers are lightweight and can be delivered by vehicle, or they can be carried down the stairs by two people and assembled on the beach. Here we have a design that incorporates a canvas over aluminum frame structure. Materials in this design include aluminum skids with adjustable legs and marine-grade painted non-skid plywood deck with aluminum stairs and rails. The canvas top will have embedded stainless steel mesh, scratch-proof clear vinyl or tinted glass windows, and a lockable door. The portable tower can be easily deconstructed into manageable parts and stored off-site. Telescoping aluminum legs can be easily adjusted by removing a pin and raising or lowering with a jack. This will compensate for uneven terrain. Here we have a design that incorporates canvas and corrugated aluminum over a stainless steel frame. The tower is enclosed on three sides with clear mylar windows. The portable tower can be easily deconstructed into manageable parts and stored off-site. The telescoping legs can be easily adjusted with a screw mechanism. This will compensate for uneven terrain. Our California coastline is special, and Laguna Beach is unique with small coves and beaches. Laguna Beach prides itself in the fact that we have a green belt and a blue belt surrounding our city. Many of the proposed beaches are located in ecological reserves and are all highly scenic areas. The scenic and visual qualities of our coastal areas will be forever adversely impacted if these proposed permanent lifeguard towers are allowed to be constructed. Thank you.
Thank you. John Stromquist.
Good morning. My name is John Stromquist. I'm a licensed structural engineer. I've lived in California for about 40 years, and I've also been an engineer for about 40 years. Of those, I've been in Orange County for about 36 years, and I love the rugged coastline of California. I was asked by Ms. Sandra Ciani to come and comment on the structural stability and strength of the proposed temporary lifeguard towers. Subsequent to that, I visited all five beaches. Firstly, I'd like to comment on the permanent towers. The permanent towers actually provide a very adverse impact on the environment. In order to construct it, you need heavy machinery that will drive on the beach, heavy rigging to drill into the bedrock. After that, you're going to have heavy rebar come in, and then they're going to place concrete. The concrete has to be pumped in either from the street, or if it is driven on the beach with heavy trucks. I don't know if it'll be supported by the sand or not. In either event, when they're done pouring the concrete, typically workmen wash their equipment out, that includes the cement, onto the street, and hence into the drains, and hence onto the beach. Once the concrete pier, the caisson, is built, there's a very good likelihood that it will crack, as often occurs. Cracks allow water and salt to penetrate into the interior of the caisson and corrode the reinforcing. Once the reinforcing starts to corrode, it expands. When it expands, it pushes against the concrete and creates larger cracks, and hence the cycle. On the third page of my handout, I show that there is a concrete column at the Oak Street Beach, probably not more than 20 feet from where the proposed lifeguard tower is going to be, that has been repaired because of that. In January of 2007, the column was, shall we say, bare. There was evidence of cracking in the column. Subsequent to that, somebody, I assume an engineer, recommended that it be encased in sheet metal cladding. And that's what you have now. Now, that could possibly happen with the city's caissons as well. And finally, once the caisson is built, you've got essentially a monolithic stone that is there permanently. It will last forever. And if it's built right and taken care of properly, it'll last forever. Now, if anybody in the city, the Coastal Commission, anybody decides that they want to change the function of the beach, the occupancy, or if somebody just wants to change their mind, how are you going to change the caisson? You're going to have to bring in a heavy work crew with jackhammers. You're going to take 2 or 3 days to jackhammer it into little pieces. It's going to have to be hauled out and hauled away. You're going to have a residue, a stub, in the bedrock, and it will be there. Now, the mobile towers, I've reviewed the designs of the mobile towers. I made improvements for the mobile temporary towers such that it will be have adequate strength and stability in the event of one of the more horrendous windstorms that come through there. These towers are only going to be in the summer, and so the horrendous wave run-up that you experience in the wintertime will not affect them. There's basically, in summary, the temporary towers are a far better option than the permanent ones because you have the flexibility of moving them around, taking them off the beach, or putting them back on as you need. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Seymour?
Good morning. My name is Richard Seymour. I'm here as a concerned scientist. My credentials are on the slide. I do not represent Scripps in this manner, nor am I a paid consultant. Let's see if we can make this work. We're very fortunate to have a wave buoy which is operated by my laboratory at Scripps, right next door to Laguna Beach. And data from this buoy shows things like the extreme heights are twice as big in the winter. I don't know what happened there. This is a 25-year record, and we can see that In the last decade, the waves are about twice as powerful as the ones that you can't see very much of on the left-hand side, which is the first decade. I would like to point out two things. One is the peak, which you can't read the scale, but His peak is 2007, which is the year that the caisson was fully exposed down to bedrock. And I'd like to point out that this 04-05 interval, which was relatively mild, my research has convinced me that we are in the midst of a very significant change in our wave climate on this coast towards much more powerful waves. Uprush on the beach moves sand shoreward. Downrush moves it seaward. And the balance between those two results in either accretion or erosion. The significant thing here is that the engineering report on which the city's design is based has a very, very serious error. And to put it as simply as I can, there is an assumption that a 20-foot wave will have the same forces on the structure or ability to erode the beach as a 5-foot wave. And this is clearly ridiculous. I think it simply is an improper application of engineering principles. This is a series of monthly profiles from a real beach, and the gold line here is a summer profile in September, and we see these red lines marching over February, March, April, May in time. And what's happening here that's important is that the height of the back beach is increasing with time until we get to about May. And before the summer season, the back beach has risen to its stable point and remains more or less constant throughout the summer season. And that's the reason that movable towers make sense. I've chosen this a location here, which is roughly midway between three of the adjacent beaches that are requesting permits. And I've extracted profiles from the airborne LIDAR surveys that my lab runs up this entire coastline all the way to Los Angeles twice a year. And the important thing, I did choose here a relatively modest year for waves, 04-05 that I pointed out to you before. But you see that between September 04 and April 05, right at the back of the beach, and this is a zero line, this is the back of the beach here, there still remains an 8-foot cut. And April, of course, is long past the deepest cut of the winter, which probably occurred in January or so. So I think that this condition should cause us some real concern about structural survival if we had a really bad winter. So I recommend against the permanent application for any of the five beaches, because we are unable to assure the structural adequacy on a narrow beach of a beach-sided tower. These towers will impede alongshore progress in the wintertime at high tide, and they certainly will result in less attractive beach conditions.
All right. Thank you, sir. I think the time has run. Okay, we have several other speakers for this item, and the first is Robert Foes, I believe it is, and Jason Windlinger, and Cindy Hall.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Robert Foes. I'm a 52-year resident of Laguna Beach. I'm a surfer, diver, kayaker, and sailor.
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with the coves. I live right at Crescent Bay, where there are two permanent towers that appeared one winter. And I would want to, first, I want to thank you for your service in protecting our beautiful California coastline. And everyone can agree that less is more when it comes to permanent structures on our beaches. In this case, until there's a year-round need for lifeguard towers in Laguna Beach, there should not be any permanent structures. These towers will be unoccupied for 9 months of the year. Now, the lifeguards make the argument that if they had permanent towers on the beach, in times of danger, they could occupy those towers and protect the public. But the real case is that they have permanent towers on Crescent Bay Beach, and I know for a fact that when in the off season, when the conditions are dangerous, they don't use those towers. They come down on trucks and stand and watch the surf until it subsides. The only time they use the permanent towers is when they've got scheduled use of it, not on an ad hoc basis. This is not a safety issue. This is a convenience issue for the city of Laguna Beach, and I urge you to not approve these towers. Thank you.
Thank you. Jason Winlinger, followed by Cindy Hall and Charlotte Masaryk.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I'm a Laguna Beach native son and current resident. I think it's worth pointing out that in addition to being publicly accessible, our beaches are also neighborhood beaches visited by us local people all year long. You almost have to live here to understand and feel the greater impact of the installation of these permanent towers, which I believe no one on the staff does. And so I urge you, please, to not find in favor of staff's recommendation for approval on any of these. Thank you.
Cindy Hall, Charlotte Masaryk, and Linda Morganlander.
Good morning. I have a PowerPoint, so I'll try to be brief.
Okay. Could you give your name for the record, too?
Cindy Penny Hall. I have. I wake up to this view every morning, and I go to bed with it every night. So I'm in a little bit of a special circumstance to speak to this issue today. I think we can all define what has been described as a lifeguard tower. But for the other 9 months out of the year, what is it? It's an observation deck. It's also an attraction for children. It's the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. Or it might be the crow's nest of a pirate ship or the ultimate Barbie chalet. It's a shoe rack. They're spawning for the camera now, but this may be the beginning of one big mistake. Just like these towers. But at least for today, there's a place to put your shoes, coats, scuba gear, towels, sleeping bags, duffel bags, baby bags, picnic bags, and carry-alls of every description. It's a playhouse and a surfboard stand where the whole family can stretch out and relax. Little ones can play on deck while mom and dad take five in the shade. Keeps the sand off your cooler. Of course, the beach and a picnic go together like tuna and fish. Pretty convenient to have the food preparation and storage area above the sand. It's a great towel rack and a wonderful place to dry your wetsuit or swimsuit. In fact, there are enough railings to air dry anything on the beach that's wet. Photographers love it. It's the main stage for photo shoots, a neat place to keep the cameras clean and dry, and a tripod too. Filmmakers love it because it's natural that every beach film just has to have at least one Baywatch scene with that great last leap to the sand. Artists love them. But it's a canvas the city will have to clean on a daily basis. Although, we'll get the latest urban art, and even the gangbangers have a place to advertise. It's an art show. We can watch art in the act of creation, stand above the crowd and see it all. Actually, it's the perfect grandstand for any event. Maybe it's a sculpture. It's just too bad that it impacts one of the most beautiful views on the Southern California coast. But it looks like an outhouse to me. And in the end, that's the conclusion most beachgoers come to, especially the out-of-town visitors who never fail an opportunity to come up to us and ask why the restrooms are locked. Thank you.
Thank you. Charlotte Masaryk, followed by Linda Morganlander and Barbara Pemberton.
Well, Cindy's a hard act to follow. Charlotte Masaryk, good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
I would like to address the views, public access, and notification process of the permanent lifeguard towers. The binder you have provided gave you visuals that speak to the public views that will be blighted by these permanent towers due to the disproportionate size of the towers on the small coves. Picnic Beach and Bird Rock Beach have Heisler Park in the backdrop, which is no development. Oak Street and Sleepy Hollow have public viewing decks. Crescent Bay is a magnificent little park and lookout, and Thalia has a hillside with a small park at the top of the stairs, all with stunning views of our undeveloped beaches. As for public access, the staff report and our other speakers have addressed the narrow beaches of Laguna. I respectfully hope you do understand that our beaches and coves are actively and extensively used by locals, especially in the off-season, and as an avid walker and leader of a three times a week walking group, I can personally attest to the fact that these towers will create winter difficulties in public access along several beaches, and the impacts haven't even begun to be felt. Today you are only hearing the placement of five towers, but 24 more are in the wings waiting to be installed on our slimline beaches. You've been shown slides today that provided you with pictorials of the three candidate beaches. Yes, very narrow beaches, even by California standards. These are not isolated coves that have difficult access or no access. All our beaches have great and easy right-of-ways, inviting the public to enjoy them all year round. Without the impediment of a permanent tower, please, that is only used for up to 3 months a year. Finally, and this was an issue we addressed in our original appeals, there was little to no public notification for these proposed permanent towers. On a group walk several years ago, we went looking for the required staking for the permanent towers at Crescent Bay. We did not find any staking. The city said the site was difficult to stake, that it had been washed away. This is exactly the point we are trying to make. The ocean eventually washes everything away, including towers, if not the caissons. I won't belabor this topic, as it was covered at length in the first two appeals, but I will mention that through our public outreach efforts, we obtained over 500 signatures on a petition to oppose these permanent structures. For the record, here are the petitions. Please approve only temporary towers on all five beaches today and recommend temporary towers for all future projects being proposed by the City of Laguna Beach. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Linda Morganlander, Barbara Pemberton, and Mark Kellen.
Hi. I'm a longtime resident of Laguna Beach and an architect, and served on the Laguna Beach Design Review Board for several years. Linda Morganlander. Thank you. Many years ago, the lifeguard tower proposal came to the DRB, and it was a very controversial topic. When the final hearings were occurring during the last year or so, it was made clear to the newer board that the towers themselves were a done deal, and the board was being asked to comment solely on the design, not necessarily the merit of the towers. The only person on the board who voted no was Ilse Lenschow, who had been on the board long enough to know the real history. When I asked Eve Plum, the chairman at the time, who was also a painter, how she was comfortable with the notion of an imposing permanent tower in the way of the scenic beauty of the beach, she said they could be painted out. They were clearly under pressure to approve. My second point is the fact that at least half a dozen beaches in Laguna are privately outsourced to U.S. Ocean Safety, who do not seem to mind the temporary towers. The Arch Bay, Emerald Bay, Aliso Beach, West Street, blah, blah, blah. The reason probably has to do with the residents' desire to keep the beaches unobstructed most of the year when the towers are not necessary, and U.S. Ocean Safety's desire to serve its community. Perhaps the City of Laguna Beach needs to listen to the desires of its residents as well and consider contracting with an entity that does not impose its will in such an unsightly way, mostly for convenience. Our beautiful coast and the people who use it deserve better than that. And lastly, there has been discussion regarding the need to keep the towers available for the off-season. Some facts to note. On Mother's Day, when several of us were at the Crescent Beach on a yellow flag day with two permanent towers available, no lifeguards were present. At Main Beach, craft show participants noted no lifeguards were in the towers on busy days of the events all day. Additionally, the city has not been budgeting for lifeguards in the off-season. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara Pemberton, Mark Kellum, and George Heed.
My name is Barbara Pemberton. I live at Top of the World in Laguna Beach. That's back behind the mountains. And I have a valley view, not an ocean view. The Marine Safety Department has told us that there are special qualifications and rules pertaining to the lifeguard towers. We haven't found any. The rules and regulations refer to the fact that you have to have stairs, and they have to have a railing, and they have to have this, that, and the other, but it doesn't say how far up they have to go or how long they have to stay there. And there is no regulation is particularly aimed towards the Marine Safety Division. If they say it's different, please let us know what they are. Cal OSHA has very strict relative statements talking about sun and wind and such. And our towers that we are proposing will address all of those problems, will address all of the up and down problems. It will make it easier for you to protect certain things. You have with you smaller versions of this photograph. This photograph shows what it looks like down by the montage. This is what it looks like in June of last year. You can see, although the stairs are not deployed, when they are deployed, they'll be about this far above the sand. This is Crescent Beach. This is what it looks like with the stairs completely deployed. You can see it's way above where the sand is. The reason that is like that is that it sits in the outfall of the water that comes out down from the streets. That happens every year. It will continue to happen every year. We have tried to get the workers' comp claims that the city says they have had for the twisted towers and for other things, and we haven't been able to get them. Now, all these five deep beaches proposed are reachable by vehicle. We can prove it. So we are asking you, please approve temporary towers on all five beaches today and recommend temporary towers for all future projects being proposed by the City of Laguna Beach. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mark Kellum, George Heed, Penny Aaliyah, Joseph Ravina.
Good morning. My name is Mark Kellum. I'm a licensed California general contractor. I've lived in Laguna Beach for 33 years. I grew up in Newport Beach, and I was born in Los Angeles. You were all provided photos of the placement of existing permanent towers adjacent to outfalls. These towers did not come before the commission for approval before installation. Photos number one and photo number five. We feel this placement is further evidence that the proper analysis for siting of these towers was never done. Included are photos of the two sites that show placement of the proposed towers, which will also be in front of or adjacent to outfalls, photo number three and photo number four. photo number 3 is at Picnic Beach, and this is in the Marine Preserve, directly below Heisler Park. You can note the outfall with the circled in white, and you can note the stake for the proposed permanent tower circled, also circled in white. Photo number 4 is Oak Street Beach. The outfall is circled in white, and the proposed placement of the permanent tower is staked. You heard testimony on Wednesday regarding placement of a permanent lifeguard facility in Ventura. Although the Laguna Beach permanent towers are not as large a facility, imagine up to 30 lifeguard towers placed on the fragile beaches and coves of Laguna Beach with quite a few of the same issues you heard on Wednesday. Today, you are only hearing the first 5 of a 30-tower phasing of installations. With the placement of permanent towers adjacent to these outfalls, we would like to bring to your attention that the city's GeoSoils, Inc. report of September 27, 2007 contains a serious error in calculating the maximum uprush under winter storm waves and very substantially underestimates the hazard to fixed structures on the back of the beach. Photo number 2.
Sir, your time is up.
May I continue?
Well, everybody's quickly held to the 3-minute rule, but if you want, we do have the photographs, and we have had a good opportunity to go through them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. George Heed, followed by Penny Alia and Joseph Ravina. And
Madam Chair, Commissioners, my name is George Heed, and I'm a 15-year resident of Laguna Beach. One of the issues the city has brought up to us with respect to the use of temporary towers is that there would not be any consistency in design, and that the beach-going public will not be able to easily identify a lifeguard tower. We find the statement to be a bit of a stretch, but do want to address it since it's been brought up several times at our meetings with them. You've been shown the temporary design solutions for these towers. They are readily identifiable, and when flying the title condition flags, will probably be even more identifiable than anything the city has ever had on the beaches in decades. I'd also like to address the proximity of the 3 permanent towers staff is recommending approval on. Based on the staff report and our review of the placement, these towers are within 1,500 feet of each other. Given this very, very close proximity, it would be much better to have temporary towers that could be removed after 80 days of service versus having these concrete and fiberglass structures on our fragile beaches 365 days out of the year. I would like to remind the commissioners again that these permanent structures are only used 80 days out of the entire year. Laguna Beach has been and is a destination for those who appreciate and want to enjoy the most beautiful and pristine beaches the California coast has to offer. This coastline is constantly used as an inspiration for the international art community, which includes painters and photographic artists. We can, through the use of removable lifeguard towers, maintain the beauty of our beaches and coves to the fullest extent without sacrificing the safety of those who use the beaches. The single greatest asset of our community is that it coexists with nature and its magnificence on a consistent basis. It's unconscionable to allow permanent plastic structures, concrete and plastic structures, to foul the vistas and national wonders that are placed in our charge. Removable structures, as staff has stated, meet the criteria of keeping our life-saving professionals and beachgoers safe. They only add value to our coast by being in place during peak beach use. Permanent plastic structures are a detraction and an attractive nuisance when they're abandoned over 75% of the year. Laguna Beach is a green city. Fiberglass is not a green or eco-friendly substance. Removable towers can have all maintenance and repair done off-site, which eliminates all possibility of contaminating our beaches and coastal ecosystem.
Sir, your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Penny Alea, Joseph Ravina.
Good morning. Penny Alea, Sierra Club. The first item I'd like to address is perhaps some miscommunication that I had. Forgive me, Commissioner Clark. What I was trying to say, and what Linda Morganlander, I believe, substantiated, is that, yes, these did go through Design Review Board. They did not go through the commission, and we are very, very grateful that they are before the commission now. And further to that, the other point was that these have all apparently been purchased. We have not been able to get all of the paperwork on this, but we have the budget details starting in 2002, 2003, and thus far 33 towers have been purchased. So I think there's some real incentive here for the city to have permanent towers if they've already been purchased. And I know the city has some rebuttals, so we'd really like to understand this. Sandra and I have met with Ken Frank and Mark Klosterman several times, and we still are unclear on that, so we would be very appreciative of knowing what's really going on. The things that I was going to say, I've changed after looking at staff's presentation. I found it interesting in the slides that at Thalia, or Talia, as Gabriel calls it, Picnic Beach, and at Oak, it was very clear that there were tire tracks there. And this is something that poor Andrew Willis, I've talked to him so many times about it, and I've spoken to Mark Klosterman about it. The lifeguards are constantly on our beaches with their vehicles. Now, these temporary towers can be brought down through the public access and installed, but if they're on the beaches all the time with their vehicles, which we do object to, the temporaries only take, you know, a couple trips, once to put it up, once to take it down after the 80 days. So I'd really like to, you know, take a look at that as well, and anything that we can do to keep those lifeguard trucks off the beaches. Treacherous conditions were brought up, and boy, we do get some big waves, and you saw the photos. Visual limitations were brought up. Again, the beauty of the temporary towers, I believe Mark Massara discussed with Mr. Gonzalez yesterday, the fact that the real benefit of these is that the towers can be moved around. It's very easy. Two people, not two men, two people can move them, put them exactly where they need to be for good vision, exactly where they need to be for the most treacherous conditions. And when Dave Skelly and I met with Chief Klosterman on November 10th of 08, I was led to believe that there had been no analysis for exactly where they would be except visual. So we can move these wherever we want for the best visual possible. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Joseph Ravina.
I live on Thalia Street, at the base of Thalia Street.
Could you give your name for the record, please?
I live on Thalia Street at the base on the sand.
And your name, please?
And my name is Joseph Ravenna.
Thank you.
And I have observed the tides for the past 30 years in the area of the proposed tower. In the summer, there is no issue of undermining. But in the winter, there's a safety issue. This tower is proposed to be placed on a berm where the sea usually does not interfere, and the public uses that berm for access to walk in safety down the beach. If that tower is there, it will impede public access. They will have to resort to going to the area where the sea has already taken out the sand, and we have already lost one person from the public in Laguna to the riptides in the winter. I think none of you would like to see this happen. I certainly wouldn't. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And that's the last of our speakers today. We'll bring it back to the city for a three-minute rebuttal. Would ever like to do that, Mr. Frank or Mr. Klosterman?
Commissioners, again, Mark Klosterman, Marine Safety Chief for City of Laguna Beach. I appreciate the time. It's pretty clear and straightforward what's before us today. We have public safety, readiness, preparedness issue versus aesthetics, view, local use of private local use of the beaches. No one argues Laguna Beach is a year-round resort, high use, high visitation throughout the year, and hazardous and dangerous conditions can occur at any time. There is a precedent for permanent towers on California beaches. Drive down to Huntington Beach right now and look out. All their towers are deployed on the beaches and left out there to make them ready and available to respond to public need. We are being penalized because we happen to have a very rugged, isolated coastline that requires different demands from us. And yes, they are pristine, but they're also hazardous, and we need to be ready and prepared to manage our coastal needs at any time with lifeguards being deployed. The other thing that was mentioned is that these towers have not been staffed or are not staffed. Every single tower, the eight towers that have been on caissons, this is documented and well proved, have been opened and providing public safety and public good prevention, enforcement, marine protection outside of the normal deployment schedule. So the city of Laguna, and let's remember that there were over 50 letters written in favor of this issue that understood the true public safety issues. We have several of these people in the audience today that aren't speaking: Dale Gere, Leslie Drucker, Eric Birkelbach, and they all want me to assure you that they will gladly keep the Coastal Commission advised and report on any accidents and the problems that will happen on these beaches if the Coastal Commission does not approve the five towers today. So once again, we implore you to support the five towers that are recommended and not to direct the City of Laguna Beach on their risk hazard management issues on the beach. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And let's bring it back to staff for comments.
Thank you, Chair Neely. Well, as the Commission has heard, there are a variety of competing perspectives and a number of factors to take into consideration in review of these proposals for permanent lifeguard towers. And given the five that are before the Commission today, staff has taken the approach, again, at looking at each individual site and the conditions present, taking into consideration the city's desire to have the permanent towers primarily due to their convenience and to have, as you've heard, to have an ability to staff them year-round if necessary. Again, we found that the impacts associated with the two to the north on the scenic resources outweigh the public benefits of having a permanent tower in that location. Preferably before any of these sites had been manned with a permanent tower, we would have looked at this and the city would have looked at this on a comprehensive basis. taking into consideration the service needs, the impacts to resources, and the access constraints. And we certainly urge the city, prior to any future proposals coming before the commission, that they look at the remaining sites with us and do that kind of comprehensive review. The fact that there are 8 permanent in place, that does give us an opportunity to see, you know, what we are considering here. And in light of what we see, there are, and if we had taken the approach that we are today, there's a couple sites we probably would not have recommended approval of permanent facilities in those locations. But just to sum up again, we are trying to look at the benefits to the city in terms of providing the service and considering the impacts to the scenic resources and how they weigh against each other. And in the two locations to the north, we think that they should pursue alternatives clearly. And for the ones in the south, we feel that the impacts can be accepted and the benefits of the permanent towers realized by the city. And that'll conclude my comments.
All right, thank you. We'll bring it back to the commission, and we have several commissioners signed up to address this issue, and the first is Commissioner Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first of all, let me just say this. Laguna Beach and the beaches we're talking about are a treasure to the California coastline. I grew up going to these beaches in Orange County, and there's no question that these are a precious resource to not only Californians, but to everyone who visits the beaches that we're talking about. I frankly am convinced, based upon what's on the record and the hearing today, that the proposed approach of permanent towers in some of the locations is inappropriate. I think there's a viable alternative here for temporary structures that are removable, that can accommodate and the needs for public safety. I don't, you know, with all due respect to the safety chief of Laguna, this isn't a matter of either public safety or aesthetics. It's really a matter of what makes sense in terms of ensuring public safety while at the same time protecting coastal resources and impacts on our coast. And so, frankly, what's needed here, and I think there needs to be a strong message sent to the city of Laguna Beach, there needs to be a comprehensive re-review of their approach to lifeguard stations on their beaches using temporary removable structures for their needs. I'm convinced that's the way ahead that makes sense. I don't believe for a moment that it would deter safety for public safety on those beaches. And so I'm looking forward to hearing some of my other commissioners, but I'm prepared to make a motion.
All right. We'll go to Commissioner Schellenberger at this time.
Yes.
Yeah, I also want to begin by saying that this is not a public safety or protecting the coastal resources issue. I do absolutely take quite seriously the need for lifeguards on these beaches and believe that there are any number of ways to do it and that the permanent structure isn't the only one. Staff in their presentation and in the staff report cites two reasons why they are willing to accept the permanent structure. One is inaccessibility of the beaches, and the other is minimal visual impacts. And we've heard from many, many people that the lifeguards actually currently have access to the beach by motorized vehicle. And I just want to confirm with staff that that's true, that in all of these beaches, lifeguards can and do currently patrol by motorized vehicle.
My understanding is, yes, they would be accessible. It may be constrained in periods of high tide, but at low tide, they can get along the beach, and okay. The city can take issue with that if that's not true.
Okay, and to state the obvious, low tide comes every day. So it does mean that they're accessible every day. And I think there's a third really important one that I want to emphasize as well, and that is erosion. And I think the testimony from with the Scripps data is we should take it very, very seriously. Maximum erosion generally happens in the wintertime. And I'm looking at the pictures of course, these are even these pictures are pretty extreme because couple of these towers are at the bottom of outfalls anyway, so there's year-round erosion. But I think that I don't understand why anybody would want to put a permanent structure on the beach if it was possible to have a temporary structure, because the permanent structure, I don't see how it doesn't become a serious erosion problem. That's how anytime, you know, that's why part of the reason seawalls have such a hard time holding up is that there's high tide, high waves, wintertime, the ocean comes in and undercuts the seawall. It's going to do the same to these, and these towers are going to be sticking up farther and farther with a pit around them by the end of the wintertime. And it during the summer, the sand may accrete back. But so it doesn't make sense to me why, from an engineering point of view, that anybody would want to put a permanent tower, why you wouldn't want to have a really well-built temporary tower that could be moved depending on where the sand is and when the erosion is and that kind of thing. So I'm not going to support any motion that would include permitting permanent towers on beaches.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Clark, would you like to get a motion on?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission approve with special conditions coastal development permits A-5-LGB-08-049 per the staff recommendation and recommend a no vote.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Clark, a second by Commissioner Potter. The maker and the seconder are recommending a no vote. Failure of the motion will result in denial of a coastal development permit.
Excuse me, which item were you taking, just one item at a time?
Right.
Could we move them collectively without making multiple motions?
Yeah, this is Sleepy Hollow. This is on page 3 of the staff report.
These are the staff's motions, except the recommendation has changed to a no instead of a yes.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So we have a motion by Commissioner Clark, second by Commissioner Potter. They're recommending a no vote, and failure of the motion will result in denial of the coastal development permit. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Well, I think I already have, and I think Commissioner Schallenberg has added to it some of the points from today that are in play here. As I said, I am from this area. I believe there is the viable alternative that doesn't impact safety and yet preserves coastal resources in the manner that we're charged to under the Coastal Act. So I frankly think the city has to go back and work through this and come back with the appropriate solution here.
All right, Commissioner Wan?
Yes, I'm going to agree with my fellow commissioners. Just want to add a couple of points. The erosion is a serious issue, I think, here, and the visual impacts. It's one thing to have visual impacts. It's another thing to have them year-round. And so if you have them during the summer months when they're needed, that's fine. But they don't need to be there, and if they're not needed, they shouldn't be. And I also just want to quote from the staff report, and it says, during the off-season, these new permanent towers would create an impediment to public lateral access. So there's an access issue here that concerns me. If you're going to have them during the months that the beaches are narrow, it creates an impediment to public access and possibly even to public safety. And speaking of safety, on that one photo, which I agree was rather extreme because it was in front of an outfall, but if I were a lifeguard coming down that tower, I guess it wouldn't be one, but anyway, if I were coming down that tower, I wouldn't want to jump off those stairs to get to the beach after the erosion underneath the tower. So I'm going to support the motion.
All right. Commissioner Blank?
I have a question for Director Douglas. Through the chair.
Yes.
Director Douglas, Have we made our preferences for temporary towers known to local coastal cities?
No.
Okay. So I have a problem with denial. And again, I will defer to the expertise of the locally elected officials here, but if I was the city looking up and down the coast and seeing caisson-built towers, there's a reasonable presumption, without the Coastal Commission staff having ever articulated a preference for what it is, that these were permitted. I'm not suggesting that that's my preference, but I could certainly understand that, and could certainly understand that the city might have proceeded with good faith in trying to understand what the commission's rules were. I think the staff has done a really good job, actually, in analyzing the alternatives and coming up with rules about where to use permanent and where to use temporary facilities.
Sure.
And the can I finish, please?
Sure.
And I just believe the fact that we haven't articulated them is the problem, not that we have a bad staff report. I think the staff report is good. I think the strategy is good, but I guess I'd like to try asking for a continuation to allow staff to inform all coastal cities of its new policies, because I think they're actually quite good. Here's where we're going to suggest caissons, and here's where we're going to suggest temporary stations. And I think, you know, the staff has articulated its logic in this staff report in a way that it didn't have to be hard and fast rules. It just kind of shared its thinking, and I thought it was actually pretty well done. So let me just try to make a motion to continue and see if I get a... Do I need a second?
We have a motion for a continuance. Is there a second?
All right.
Not at this time? Okay. Let's hear from staff, and then we'll come back to the commission list.
Commissioner Blank, we don't make those kinds of representations because this commission deals with issues on a case-by-case basis. We do not know that there might be some areas where a permanent tower, in fact, makes sense. This was brought to our attention as these proposals came forward. The ones that you saw pictures of that were in place, those were approved at the local level, and they fell through the cracks with us because of staff constraints. That was one of the results of not having the staff to review all these local actions in a timely fashion. But for us to be able to say categorically that no permanent towers be located...
That wasn't what I was asking, Director Douglas. I was asking, given that your preference now seems to be temporary towers. Is that how I read it? That's not our preference,
because we really are looking at these on a case-by-case basis. We're even recommending approval of some of these. So it's a matter of looking at it and the facts of each particular situation. If we were to indicate anything that would be kind of categorical, then I think we're also looking at the potential of a regulation. And that's a problem. So that's why we do the case-by-case.
So let me just ask one more, and then I'll give up on this one. But the inverse is now true, is that we are not categorically approving caisson-built lifeguard towers.
That's true.
And that is a new statement.
That's a true statement.
Okay.
Okay. We have several other speakers. Next is Commissioner Schallenberger.
I just have a point of order with staff. If we deny any one of these, can they then put in a temporary structure? I mean, do they need a permit for a temporary structure?
We've indicated that anything but the chairs that have been used historically would need a permit.
Then how would it be possible today to deny the permanent structures and yet permit temporary structures? So they didn't have to come back to us, assuming they want a temporary structure which has more substance to it than the chairs. Is there a way to do that today?
I thought about that. I don't think there is.
They have been using the temporary structures on sleds that have not been permitted. So if if the commission feels they have enough information to approve those use of those temporary structures in the interim period until a future proposal for comprehensive approach or alternatives comes forward, you could do that through motions.
I heard two different things from you. One is that they have done it in the past without a permit, and the other is that if we felt we had enough information to permit temporary, we could. So are they using the temporary? Should they have a permit or not?
They should have a permit for using them now. If you wanted to give them authorization to use them in the future, you could do that through your action today.
And how procedurally would we do that? We have before us now one motion, which is to approve, and we've been requested a no vote, which would deny. So
you could do a amending motion or a substitute motion since, well, council helped me out.
That's why I asked.
basically, to deny what they're proposing, but to approve a temporary structure in this location.
I just want to point out that the way the staff report is on the two where you, it was a straight out denial of permanent and there was no option for approval of it. Does that mean that staff didn't feel that they had enough information to recommend approval of a temporary?
Well, we didn't have a temporary before us. We were just looking at the permanent.
I see.
So
is another option for the applicant, considering what's being said here, the motions on the floor to withdraw and resubmit for temporary?
Yeah, but, from my perspective, looking at this, they do need structures there. They do need the ability to have the lifeguards, sit in a structure there. So temporary structures, we don't really have a problem with.
So help us out. Could you just be very clear on if the commission wants to deny permanent structures and wants to approve temporary, how would we do that procedurally?
You would do it by an amending motion to approve a temporary structure. I would suggest that there be some constraints on that because there are temporary structures and temporary structures. So if we have some guidance as to what you're talking about, I mean, the reality is that we've got violations out there and we don't have the resources to pursue them. So, they're there. And it's certainly not a priority for us to go after the city to remove those. So maybe the best thing is to just go along with the denial recommendation to the maker of the motion, and we talk to the city about how they can deal with the temporary structures in the future.
Commissioner Lieberman is next, and then Commissioner Clark.
Okay.
Commissioner Lieberman, did you still want to address?
Yes, but I think that staff had a comment on the situation.
Well, I just wanted to add to what Director Douglas was saying, is that you would want to move to make the motion and then make an amending motion about the temporary structure. And I think staff would have some recommendations about some of those limitations based on what has historically been done.
All right. Commissioner Lieberman?
Thank you very much. I'm also inclined to support the motion to deny permanent structures, but I just wanted to make two points that I suspect also reflect the views of my colleagues on the commission. The first is that I've had the pleasure of working with Los Angeles County lifeguards for over two decades, and I suspect that the lifeguards in Laguna Beach are just as dedicated, and I know that the career of being a lifeguard has nothing to do with convenience. One doesn't go that route if they're looking for convenience, and I doubt that's the only concern that they have. Security, safety truly is their concern, and I believe that. The second point is that one or more of the speakers talked about the staff perhaps not understanding what it's like to be in the local community. And I assure you that sometimes it's hard to separate the recommendations that staff makes, which they're required to make to explain these issues to us, from their point of view as to what's actually happening on the ground. And my experience is that to the community members here, that the staff truly does understand and appreciate what it's like to live in the community and what the issues of the community are. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Clark.
Yeah, well, first let me come back to Commissioner Blank. Steve, you know, my motion has nothing to say about the staff's work or their report. I think they did a very good job. And listening very closely, you heard the deputy director say in her last comments that there are probably some other of the recommended permanent structures that they would have recommended denial if they had had more of the information that we now have before. So I think they've done a great job. You typically do a great job, so my motion has nothing to do or reflect upon the work of our staff. But it has a lot to do with the reality of a viable alternative that the city hasn't pursued. And, you know, I come from local government, so this is difficult for me. I'm not trying to send a message to the city of Laguna Beach that we don't want to see appropriate safety in terms of lifeguard support on their beaches, but there is a better approach, and that's the message that's coming across here. In terms of Commissioner Schallenberg's suggestion, I thought about that, actually, and I appreciate that. The problem, as I see, with going down that path is we don't have the conditions associated with permanent structures, and I think we would be fishing in the dark. I think it's far better for the city of Laguna to get with our staff once we make this decision and come back with an approach using the temporary structures that we can all buy into that has the appropriate conditions. So,
thank you. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I tend to agree with Commissioner Blank, I think. I'm not comfortable with a blanket prohibition on these or permanent structures or a blanket approval on them, and I think staff's approach to looking at them on a case-by-case basis, both in this community and in other communities that may come up in the future, is really the appropriate way to do that and to evaluate each one on its merits. So I'm inclined to support the staff recommendations, both for approval and denial on this.
All right. Commissioner Shajin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My first question was that of Commissioner Schallenberger, but to follow through, because I heard Mr. Douglas keep reminding us about staff constraint that we have as it exists. And coming from local government, I have my issues as how we go with this. And I am appreciative of staff's reporting, because the staff did report to us that they could be, or there are other alternatives if they were so choose to consider. If there is something we can do here today, such as all of us have spoken about temporary, we're okay with it. Those who are opposing the permanent ones have said so as well. Instead of having the city go back and come back for reconsideration going through all this, I wonder if we can amend the motion and give the executive director to deal with the city and get it done at his level by a direction given here today. And if I may ask the director to respond to that, and I would ask the motion maker, if you choose to amend it, then I think after we hear the director, we might have a solution here today. And
Commissioner Shajin, you have read my mind.
I was reading it all this time.
Yes. Yeah. It's an open book.
It's a pretty short read.
Getting shorter and shorter.
Okay.
It's the hairdo.
The
novelette.
If we could get the picture, what is it, Exhibit 1, up on the, which one is it?
Side 4. In this PowerPoint presentation, yeah.
Slide 4. It seems to me that the best approach at this point, given the staffing constraints and, you know, the fact that none of us want to make more work, and we recognize that the use of some temporary structures makes sense, you could make that motion, that amending motion, to permit these kinds of these structures for the lifeguard towers. These are temporary. You have a pictorial representation, so we know what it is that's going to be that you're approving, and we don't have to worry about different kinds of designs. So that would be a way to do it. It could be done today. We wouldn't have to worry about the enforcement or coming back with new designs or spending time working with the city on this issue.
Unless
they come back in the future
for
some
of that nature.
Different.
All right, we have Commissioner Watt and then Commissioner Clark.
If we were going to do that, then it would seem to me, get me if I'm wrong, that the motion has to be for approval, and then you have to amend to say that it's not a permanent tower, it has to be a temporary tower or on skids such as this. You can't move to deny. You would move to approve and then amend.
That's correct.
Unless staff is willing to include that as their recommendation, and then we can just go with staff.
Staff is modifying its recommendations to include to approve these structures.
Then we can just go for approval.
Madam Chair, can
I'd like to get the city up. Yeah.
Can we have the city representative come up, please? Because we're approving something in a picture here that I'm not sure if they have stuff.
If you prefer a continuance, indicate that as well.
No. Hi, I'm Ken Frank. I'm the city manager. We appreciate your comments. It would be extremely helpful to be able to use the towers on a temporary basis with skids. Yes, we have trouble with them. Some of them fall over, and we've got to put them back up. But we really desperately need to be able to do some of them on skids.
Are they all this tower that we see a picture of?
It depends on the yes, they're all the same tower.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, staff, you've now changed your recommendation?
Yes.
And
we're recommending approval of
all of the
towers.
These particular towers. And, Mr. Clark, did you want to change your motion?
Well, just a point of clarification on that, Peter. You know, this is the temporary tower in skids, but we've seen, and it's been put in the record today, I think, conclusively, that there are alternative new design towers of temporary nature that could be preferable to this. It seems to me that we ought to also then include the ability of the city to go to one of those other newer design alternative temporary towers.
And that would be fine to include that in our recommendation, that if the city comes in with a alternative design that's more aesthetically pleasing or beneficial, that we could recommend that we could approve that.
Okay.
Just at the executive director level.
Very good.
Okay. Well, and you've incorporated that in your...
Yes. Yes, okay. We have.
Then I withdraw my original motion, and I'd like to make a new motion.
Okay. Carry on.
Yeah. I'll move that the commission approve with special conditions as amended by staff during the hearing, the coastal development permit A-5-LGB-08-049 per the staff recommendation as modified, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Clark, a second by Commissioner Ashazian. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the coastal development permit application with special conditions. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Just, I think we've you know, killed this one. I think,
yeah,
quite frankly,
this
gives the city some more flexibility and the ability, under approval by the commission, to move out with temporary structures. So I think it's positive.
Commissioner Ashazian?
It's been
all right. Very good. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item?
Yeah, let's do a roll call.
Pardon me? You want to do a roll? There's a request for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Ashazian?
Yes.
Commissioner Blank?
Yes.
Blank, yes. Commissioner Clark?
Yes.
Clark, yes. Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes.
Lieberman, yes. Commissioner Potter?
Aye.
Potter, yes. Commissioner Riley?
What's the current motion now? I mean, because I thought that
approval.
With the prior motion, it would take a no vote to get rid of the towers, and a yes vote would be for them.
This is to approve per the staff recommendation.
All right.
Temporary.
No. Yes.
Okay.
Riley, yes. Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yes.
Schellenberger, yes. Commissioner Wan?
Yes.
Wan, yes. Chair Neely?
Yes.
Chair Neely, yes. Unanimous.
Okay, and the commission
I have more
hereby to... approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development. Mr. Clark?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission approve with special conditions as amended by staff, coastal development permit A-5-LGB-08-050 per staff recommendation as amended, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
OK, Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Clark, second by Commissioner Ashajian. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the coastal development permit. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, we'll move to the next motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission approve with special conditions coastal development permits A-5-LGB-08-051 per the staff recommendation as amended. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Clark, a second by Commissioner Ashajian. They're recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the coastal development permit. Okay, any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? And the motion, Commission hereby approves the coastal development permit. And on page 5, the next motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the Commission approve coastal development permit A-5-LGB-08-047 for the development proposed by the applicants with staff conditions as amended, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Clark, second by Commissioner Ashajian. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the coastal development permit. Any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Madam Chair, last motion. I move that the Commission approve coastal development permit A-5-LGB-08-048 for the development proposed with the conditions as staff conditions as modified today, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Clark, second by Commissioner Ashajian. They're both recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the coastal development permit. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the motion is approved, and the Commission hereby approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development. Staff?
Madam Chair, I think that completes the agenda, but I would just like to take a moment to, on behalf of the staff, express our profound appreciation to Commissioner Riley, who over the years has declined our offer to hire him for the staff, as he points out mistakes on pages 141 and paragraph 3 or whatever it was. You have been a real hallmark and a pillar of knowledge about how the Coastal Act should be implemented, and you have always been very respectful and thoughtful and supportive of what the staff has tried to do and brought to you. We haven't always agreed, but we really appreciate and respect your dedication to public service, protecting the coast of California, and implementing the law in a fair and correct way. So thank you, Commissioner Riley, and hopefully we'll see you in another incarnation in the not-too-distant future, like a moderator at a workshop.
Yeah.
thank you. That means a lot to me.
Madam Chair, if I might, as the second most senior member of this commission, also express my appreciation for having had the opportunity to work with you, Mike. You know, it's almost 12 years, which means it's almost 144 meetings. And then if you take that times 3 or 4, that's well in excess of 430 days. So we've collectively spent well over a year together working on a variety of different issues. I was reflecting back on the original commission earlier, and names that come up such as Araya, Staffel, Fleming, Kehoe, Detloff. We go back a long way. And I think Peter said it very well. We've certainly had our interesting debates over the course of time. But I value those, and more than that, I value our friendship. It is one of the accidental benefits you get of having been a member of this commission. You are intently involved with each other for an extended period of time, once a month, somewhere in the state of California. It's been a lot of fun, Mike. I do hope you're back in some other fashion, but I will sincerely miss you, but cherish our friendship. Thanks.
Very good. Commissioner Juan.
Yes. Well, as the senior member, I'll say, but not by that much longer in terms of my knowledge of you, maybe half a day?
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know, when you walked in the room versus when Mike walked in the room the first night, and we will remember and treasure all of the times that we've spent together. I think Commissioner Potter said it very well, and that
I hope that our friendship will last beyond the commission, and that we'll have an opportunity to see you and Judy again, and continue our friendship.
Excellent. And before you all run out the door, Commissioner Shaju?
Yeah,
we do have one public comment, so Penny, if you want to come down.
I thought I was repeating everything Commissioner Potter said with an accent, but I won't go there. But my compliments for Commissioner Riley. I learned a lot from him, and that my resemblance to him on the commission is that of E.F. Hutton on the stock market. When Mike spoke, I listened.
All right. Excellent. Commissioner Clark?
Yeah, thank you. I'd just like to say to Mike, for me, it's been 3.5 years, but my first experience with you was when you were chair, and I was before the commission as a local official. And quite frankly, I was impressed watching you from down in the audience and coming before you. But having the opportunity the last 3.5 years to serve with you has been an honor.
Okay. Mr. Blank.
I think maybe the ultimate compliment to Commissioner Riley is I predict these hearings will be going an extra hour because of our inability to summarize them as cogently as Commissioner Riley, and we're going to be depending on him twittering us in real time to smack us on the side of the head. And I think his insight about, as Director Douglas said, about the Coastal Act and just what doing the right thing meant I hope not the high water mark, but for me was a great role model on how to be a good commissioner. So thank you, Mike, for those lessons.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And I join in those comments. You've been an outstanding.
Well, my memory will be getting totally confused in the last vote I took as a commissioner. So.
Right. We hope to see you in this arena constantly. So. Okay, we have one public comment. Penny Aaliyah, 3 minutes.
Thank you, Penny Aaliyah, Sierra Club, and thank you for your final yes vote. And thank you for working with Vanessa and I on all those fun hotel rooms and meeting spaces several years ago. Good job. I wanted to circle back just very briefly. I know you all want to get on the freeway. It's raining. You want to get home for the weekend. But I did want to come back to my comments on Wednesday regarding the Records Act request that we did with the City of Laguna Beach and the Fire Department. We seemed to kind of segue into Poseidon. And, you know, the point that I'm trying to make, and it's been reiterated for months now, and it was mentioned several times today as well over the last 3 days, staff constraints, violations with no resources to pursue, et cetera, et cetera. You know, staff is working right now, supposedly with the Athens Group, on a restoration plan for Hobo Aliso Ridge. Yet we see in the documents that I shared with all of you on Monday that there's a whole other agenda going on within the city, the fire department, and the Athens Group. So if staff is in fact successful in ever bringing a restoration order before the commission to be heard, how will that restoration order be enforced if the Athens Group agrees to something with staff, yet they cut a separate deal with the city and the fire department to come in with a nuisance abatement order, which has only been used on the Athens property for fuel mod? How do we get restoration going? We plan it, we cut it down for fuel mod, we don't plan it. We argue over where things are going. It's taken us months and months and months to get through everything with Athens on the water course restoration. There's an argument every time, and if their arguments don't persuade, well, the fire department then steps in and says, oh, no, you can't plant that plant there. Well, it was growing there for the past 100 years. Why can't we replant it? So, again, I'm just asking for some clarification because I think the documents you received are very clear. There's another program going on that is not consistent with restoration, and it's not consistent with what staff is trying to accomplish, and what Athens says their heart is 100% behind doing. I do hope we get to see a restoration plan sometime, and I'd love to know if staff has any positive updates for us. Thank you so much, and thank you, Commissioner Riley.
Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't have a positive update, but I know that we're working on this and hoping to bring it back next meeting. But as I indicated yesterday, we're very reluctant to challenge a local government's jurisdiction and decision to declare a nuisance and then to abate that nuisance. However, there may be circumstances where it is so transparent what in fact is going on at the local level that that declaration really is a sham. We're not saying that's the case here, but we certainly would like to have an explanation, not today, but in the not-too-distant future, about how to explain the correspondence that has been brought to our attention through a Public Records Act request. It does raise serious questions about the legitimacy of the nuisance declaration, because it seems to imply that this was somehow calculated as a way to get around the Commission's constraints on vegetation clearance. But that's not something that we can decide today, and we will be looking into it, and we hope to get an explanation on it. And it'll be part of our report when this comes back.
All right, thank you. And Commissioner Wan wanted to comment.
I am going to urge you to take a look at this and think about if there really is this kind of evidence that, you know, I can read the documents of what is apparent, but you need to obviously further investigate it. We do also need to think about how we deal with that. And it may be that it's dealt with in the context of the enforcement action, which all of us have been waiting for several years now to finally move forward. But there needs, if that is the case, we really do need to think about how we deal with that.
Okay. Well, the meeting is adjourned, and we'll see you next month. Thank you.